Sade, sade, sade. 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 Okay, you all can be seated. Thank you so much. Have to apologize for the delay a bit. Just now we were caught in a very, very bad jam. Somewhere near Subang Medical Center, there, that entrance. The other road going straight in was jammed. Then they cut over this lane, so we couldn't move. But luckily, somehow, later on, it just cleared at about 8:15. Then we arrived at about 8:20. So a lot of things, when it's meant to be, it will be. Then today, you all should rejoice with the Klang people and all those who have brought the flower. We got a lot of good offering. I saw 4 bouquets of very nice flower and a lot of fruits. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will start our puja. We will do our usual homage to the Triple Gem. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. We will turn to page 4. Then we can start our puja. We will start with the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang. Padang samadhiyami adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami kame sumichachara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami Osavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, we will now chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sena tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonudang ganna sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana muttamang vanna kanda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe puje me bedang kusumena nena punena matena ca hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasaba. Hello. Okay. Sorry, the contact. I think sometimes it goes off. It's okay. Yeah. Okay. Turn to page 18. We will do the aspiration. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide.
Significance of offering of fruits.
May the offering of fruits remind us of the Dharma harmony of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we can describe on the faithfulness
to attain
the past and future
students of all. Significance of offering of flowers.
May this constant offering of flowers to the best one.
Of this
making of overall aspiration.
Out of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balanced, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits to share and transfer to all beings without exceptions, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pay respect mindfully to Triple Gem. Bhutang Pachemi. Dhammang Pachemi. Sanghang Pachemi. Okay. You can be seated, eh? Then we can have our meditation. Oh, how many of you are first time here? Two at the back. Can I see who are they? Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, okay. That's very well. First time here. Okay, you are most welcome to join us. Do you all have any Buddhist teaching background or understanding? Do you have some understanding of the essential teachings of the Buddha? Completely new. Okay, good. Oh, okay. Then we wait for a while. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, maybe you can start your meditation. Then you get the blue book here. The blue book up there. Get the blue book. Give them a copy each so that they understand the meditation. Pass to them. So all this instruction later on, you don't have to remember. You go back, you read through this book. You will be able to find them inside there. What we do here is, the first session is meditation. After our pre-puja, we will develop the meditation. So if you are completely new, maybe I will explain a little bit about the importance and significance of what we do before we start. And all this sharing, they are recorded, so you don't have to remember anything or try to take note. You just pay attention, listen attentively, then you will benefit more. What we did just now was called pre-puja, or devotional practices, as recommended by Sakyamuni Buddha. And this devotional practice or puja are very important. They will allow us to do many, many wholesome things. We not only develop the merits through all the offering of fruits, flower, light, incense, clear water, and whatever that is appropriate. So this offering is generosity, is a type of parami, or they call meritorious action. Then when we start, we pay respect to Triple Gem. Reverential salutation is also a meritorious action. Then we rejoice with the offering, with the wholesomeness, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And this is also very meritorious. Then after that, we do our chanting. When we chant, we are understanding, because the chanting book has the English translation. So later on, you can get a copy from Suyan. You read through the English translation, then you will understand the significance of all this chanting. You will start to develop the clear understanding of all the chanting that we do. First, we start off with a salutation to the Triple Gem. You can see it anywhere. You can sit there if you want. So as you develop this chanting, you not only develop the faith in you. Later on, through the understanding of who the Buddha is and how special he is, you will come to understand clearly that the Buddha is a very exceptional being. He is not only enlightened, he is the fully enlightened one. And you can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. So to have such a great being as our teacher and our guide is indeed a great blessing, and it is a very, very rare condition. So all these are very meritorious and very wholesome. Then it brings about a lot of joy, and faith is the first of the five spiritual faculties that you must develop to understand his teaching. Then we chant the refuge. We have to take refuge with the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And refuge are very important, because these three, called the Triple Gem, they are the refuge safe. It's only within this Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha that you can find his teaching. The Buddha, being the fully enlightened one, definitely has his teaching. Then the Dhamma is his teaching. That's why when you take refuge in the Buddha and Dhamma, the teaching will be there. And the third refuge is the Sangha, which is the Aryan disciple of the Buddha, or the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. Since they are enlightened disciples, they too have the teaching. So these Triple Gem are very unique, so we need to take refuge, so that we build affinity with them, so that we cultivate affinity with them, so that life after life, if you have to come or you choose to come, you will have the condition to receive all this affinity that will bring about the condition for you to encounter them. Then after that, we renew our five precepts. Precepts are very important. It helps us to avoid evil. Those who break their precepts, they are evil people with evil roots. So you take care of your precepts. If you maintain your precept, you become very virtuous. You become a blessing to many, because keeping a precept is also another important meritorious action. Then after that, we chant the puja offering to understand the significance of all this offering. Then we make aspiration through this understanding, so that it will pave the way for us to develop the spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya that will allow us to understand his spiritual teaching. And with the spiritual faculty, it will help you overcome the five mental hindrances, the opposite five mental states, which the Buddha called mental hindrances. Mental hindrances are mental states that will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from becoming mindful, heedful, aware, to develop the meditation. And these two categories of Dhamma, they are all on the whiteboard. The one pair of spiritual faculty and mental hindrance. You can see them on the whiteboard up there. So that's the reason why we develop all this puja. Then after that, we will have our meditation session, which is now. So the other blue book, get one more for our new girl. Oh, she has three. This one you go back and read later. It's about the typical Thursday meditation instruction. It's explained clearly there what you have to do and why you do all those things. So with that, maybe we can save some time. I don't have to explain all this all over again. The reason why you are not peaceful and not able to meditate is because of mental hindrance, the Buddha said. Most living beings, if you have not trained your mind, you have not developed the ability to be mindful or heedful, to have the spiritual faculty, you are heedless. You have the mental hindrance. That's why you cannot meditate. So understanding this will allow you to train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty, the opposite mind, so that you can develop the ability to overcome this hindrance. Then automatically your mind will become peaceful. You will enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner mindfulness. And once the mind is in that state, it can meditate. This is a mind that is very peaceful, very quiet, very tranquil, very still. No more hindrance. No more restlessness. No more sleepiness. No more fear, worry, and anxiety. No more of all those funny mental states that always haunt living beings. So this is the gist of what you need to know. Okay, we can now off the light. Huh? Then for those who know how to meditate, you can start straight away. For those who are new, who need instruction, I will give you some very basic, simple instruction. You will understand all this instruction later on when you read through the blue book. Huh? Okay. First, make sure you have a stable posture. You can sit. You try to be in the sitting posture. Then, make sure your body and mind is relaxed. The key to meditation is to have a relaxed body and mind. Relaxed means no more problem, at ease with whatever situation you are in. When you are at ease, you are very relaxed and peaceful. When you relax body, you know, huh? Feel it soothingly and completely relaxed all over. No more stress, no more tension. Mentally too, when you don't hold on to anything, don't worry about anything, you just tell your mind, I just want to relax and meditate. And this mind will be peaceful, it will be relaxed. When the thought come to remind you of certain thing, then you tell the thought, please, not now, after the meditation, I will attend to it. In the meantime, please allow me to have the space to meditate. Have pity on me. Huh? Then after that, you make sure your backbone is straight. Close your eye. Then I will teach you a skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking to make you peaceful. We call it the mind sweeping method. Huh? You start by maintaining attention at your forehead. You feel your forehead. Feel means don't think, just feel. You can detect any tension, any tightness, or any stress within. You just relax them all. Feel your forehead soothingly relaxed. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel and relax every muscle within it. Then move your attention down to your facial muscle. Feel it. Every strand, every muscle relax into it. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then we can also adapt another skillful means to allow you to naturally relax. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy, there is happiness. And when there is joy, when there is happiness, you will naturally relax. Your facial muscle will naturally relax. So, radiate this radiant smile. Then combine it with loving kindness meditation. And now I will teach you. You recite following me. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel your entire body and mind having this well-being and happiness within each and every cells within your body and your entire mind state. Be well and happy, well and happy. Feel it. Then you can repeat one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within. This will bring about inner well-being to your mind. The mind sweeping method will make you peaceful. It will bring about inner peace. So the benefits of meditation, which is inner peace and inner well-being, they will be of great use and great benefit. When you are able to have inner peace and inner well-being, you will have calmness energy, peaceful energy. All of your cells will have a lot of this internal well-being. This will help to boost up your positive energy. Then it will help to raise your immune system. It will counter all of your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and restlessness. For once, you feel good, you feel peaceful, you feel calm. you feel a lot of well-being within you. Then you continue to radiate this well-being. May I, this body and mind of mine too, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger, free from all negativity of my state. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate the same to your loved ones. May my loved ones too be well and happy. Your loved one can be your own parents, your spouse, your children, or somebody close to you, your good friend, or your brothers and sisters, colleagues, neighbors, or whatever. May they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they too keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all kayanamitas, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful always. May they too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can radiate this same metta to all beings. May all beings within the entire of Subang Jaya, slang of state, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth, then the whole of our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and the whole of the entire universe. May all beings be well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, you feel, don't think, just feel. Relax every part of your facial muscle. Then you move your attention to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, do the same, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder. Then you move your attention down to your chest area, your heart area. Just silence everything and feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silence your mind and stay there. If you are new, you are not used to this way of meditating, then maybe you are not sensitive enough, you cannot feel. Then you just relax your body and mind, and like you feel your forehead. Now you feel your heart area. If you cannot detect the vibration, never mind. You just feel. And again, like you relax your forehead, you relax all of your tension, stress around your chest area. Wherever you feel any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel it soothingly, relax and relax and relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, feel. Relax. Then move it down to your abdomen. Feel. relax. Then you move it out to your leg. Feel, relax, don't think. Then you feel your buttock, again relax. Then you can reverse this entire mind sweeping method from your buttock, feel, relax, leg, feel, relax, abdomen, feel, relax, stomach, feel, relax, and you move to your chest area. Again, you feel, and you relax into it. Then shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, relax every part. Then your facial muscle, feel it sitting in, relax. Eye muscle, forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then now you have to stabilize this mindful state of inner peace and inner calmness. You can use a skillful means or an object of meditation to anchor this mind. The Buddha recommends Anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. It's just like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your nostril. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. So when you feel your breathing, the mind can detect this breathing. The moment the mind detects the breathing, allow the mind, the awareness, and the breath to move as one without thought. Just follow it. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Without the words, just aware. If you are new, your mind will wander off very fast. It's very difficult to train. But be patient. Every time it wanders off, bring your attention back to your nostril. Then again, develop the training. After a while, this Anapanasati will stabilize. Then you will be able to detect this breathing naturally on its own. Then when you can do that, your mind becomes very calm, very peaceful. And you experience a type of peace they call piti, which is a spiritual joy or a spiritual peace within. Or it can be a spiritual rapture later on when you are able to develop it very well. When it arises, you continue to relax into it and just maintain silence and allow this mindfulness of the in and out breath, Anapanasati, to move on naturally. Then as you develop more and more skill, this Anapanasati become more and more refined. Then piti will transform into sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state. It's a very refined state of piti. And when you experience sukha, your mind becomes very blissful. There is a type of bliss within and you will like to meditate. Then you continue to relax into it. Your breathing will become like long breath with clarity within, fully mindful. Then as you stabilize this piti and sukha, you will continue to transform until later on the breathing will slow down on its own until it's very quiet, very still. Then you will hit pasati. When you hit pasati, that is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind that you are looking forward to, that you are developing through this training. So when pasati arises, you just silence everything and don't do anything, just stay there with the breathing. Even when the breathing becomes very subtle, just stay there. Then later on, as you become more and more skillful, this Anapanasati will come back to you. Even the subtle breathing, you will start to detect them. That means your mind is already in sati. And that mind is capable of understanding many things. that mind can meditate. That is the meditative mind. Then you silence everything and allow it to be. Later on, this breathing will drop down to your heart area or chest area. If it happens, then just let it be. When your mind is in paucity, wherever you locate the mind becomes very sensitive. Then when it drops to your heart, you can feel your own heartbeat. You can feel all the vibration within there. Then you just relax and silent. The fourth support of this type of meditation is relax. First one, relax into all mind state. Then silent, maintain awareness. Maintain that silence, the stillness, for as long as you can. Then develop the continuity of it. Then later on, just allow the nature to do the meditation. The last support is trust. So starting from relax, aware, 24-hour trust. These are the four support. Okay, with that, I will let you develop the meditation, the training of the mind. Then I will ring the bell after about another 10 or 15 minutes. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. Put your seven arms slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. This is the trained mind, the quality of mind that can make you peaceful, calm, and aware within. This is the mind that can become heedful. And this is the mind that can develop the meditation. Always remember, the purpose of our coming to this form of meditation is to train our mind. If you need to train, then for those who already trained, you can straight away go into the meditation. Because of your spiritual faculty, the hindrance will not be there. Then it will stabilize. Then you will reach the silent mind or anapanasati very fast. Then it will stabilize. Then the inner peace, inner calmness, and the inner awareness will allow you to meditate, to develop the understanding. And the key to meditation is not just formal meditation. You have to move this trained state of mind into your daily life so that you can live life with that type of trained mind state. They call it the daily mindfulness. The real meditation is daily mindfulness, when you can be aware of every action, every movement in life, in your daily life. Then you become heedful, mindful. It is only when you can have that type of mind that can be mindful, aware, and heedful throughout the day and develop the daily mindfulness, to develop the understanding of who you are, and what this form of mind is all about, and how you function as a human being. It is only when your mind is silent, peaceful, aware, it can understand many things, it can insight into phenomena, it can see things as they are, it can understand all of the nature's law that governs all of life and existence. Then you will develop clear understanding of what life is all about. Then you will understand very clearly, who are you, what are you. And it is from this understanding that you can awaken. Okay, now we will continue with our invocation of the Deva. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. I will read to you all the English translation. Then after that, we will get Ingbi to help us to chant the Pali invocation. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the Devas or Deity come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Okay.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Bhadanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Bhadanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Bhadanta Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa
Namo tassa Bhagavato tho samma sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vichacharana sampanno sukato lokavido anuttaro punyakhetam sarati sattha deva manosanam buddho bhagavati suakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanaiko pachatang veditabo nohiti supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho ujjupatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho yadidam patipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho samicci patipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho yadidam cattari purisa yukkāni attha purisa pugala esa bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjalikaraneyo anuttaraṃ puñyakhetaṃ lokasati sādhu sādhu sādhu. Okay, we'll pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, you can be seated. We will now continue with the second session. Second session is reporting of meditation followed by question and answer, Q&A. So we will open up for the class to report whatever meditation that you want to report. You can just put up your hand. Then you can also ask whatever question that is related to the meditation, to the teaching, and how you can develop the understanding of this teaching to help you to understand life, to help you solve your problem or overcome all of your life problems. Okay, make full use of this second session. Okay, now we open up. Anybody who wants to report meditation or ask any question, you can put up your hand. Anybody? So quiet. You got no question, then there is a sheet of paper in front of you. If you are shy, next time you write down your question. This is a Krishnamurti quote. which is very useful and very relevant. There are two codes there. The first code is, how come there are three? You repeat it. Good. Okay. I have already actually explained this before. So you have included this on the third one. Yeah, it's okay. The first one is there is understanding only when there is stillness. And this one I think most of you should understand by now. You remember what I used to tell you all? Understanding is a wisdom, is an awakening, is not a knowledge, is not a thought. It don't come through thinking. Understand? That's why Krishnamurti understand. He used the word very clearly, There is understanding only, the word is only, when there is stillness. When you are not with a silent mind, you cannot awaken, you cannot develop understanding, you cannot see things as they are. The mind has to be completely still and silent. And that is basically what sati is all about, what mindfulness is all about, what heedfulness is all about. So now I will read to you Krishnamurti's code. Krishnamurti said there is understanding only when there is stillness. And then he elaborate what is stillness. When there is silent observation. What is silent? Silent means what? No chattering, no verbalizing, no thought. Internal mental chattering is also noisy, understand? Although no voice, it's not verbal. Verbal chattering is very noisy, but internal mental chattering, which is without vibration or noise, is also very noisy. And it can stir the mind. Then it can make you heedless. That's why the word is, when there is silent observation, when you observe without thought, without verbalization, without mental chattering, that is the true sati. That's why when there is silent observation, then there is no movement of your brain. Understand not? Passive awareness. Passive means what? Not active. Understand? Awareness means what? Just aware. No thought. That's why passive awareness is not the active judgment, thinking, commenting, reacting, stirring. All those are heedless mental field or mental states. But when you are truly aware, you are just silent, attentive. That's why silent observation. And the word passive awareness is very important. Some of you all in the Theravada tradition, you use the word choiceless awareness. You don't make a choice. But the more accurate word is passive, not active thinking, not actively trying to be aware. That one is the thought. So this summarizes to you how you can develop understanding or wisdom. So Krishnamurti say, there is understanding only when there is stillness. When there is silent observation, passive awareness, then only the problem yields is significant. The awareness of which I speak is of what is from moment to moment. See? Moment to moment. This is the mindfulness, ever mindful, moment to moment. Of the activities of thought. That's why you must see how your thought reacts, the move. How it's conditioned by your views and opinion. by your conditioning within. Then you will understand who you are, what you are, and how come you become like that. Your whole of your personality, your whole of your character, your whole of your behavior, that so-called form and mind, you will start to understand. If you are not silent, quiet, still, aware, you cannot understand. That's why Krishnamurti say, then only the problem use its full significance, when you are completely silent and aware, passively, not reacting, not judging, not wanting to know, not commenting. Then through that silence, through that stillness, you develop a lot of understanding of who you are, what you are. It's just like when you observe your children, your child. To understand your child, to understand your children, you have to be very attentive of what they do. Every movement, every action, every laughter. You all receive from the internet, isn't it? How often does the baby laugh? Throughout the day. They laugh so often. But human beings hardly laugh. When there is a joke, you laugh in a very funny way. But the children, the kids, when they laugh, they are very, very sincere, very nice. Not pretend, not excitable. No. There is just joy inside there. So when you attentively through the silence observe without commenting, without reacting, without trying to use your conditioned mind to describe, because that is not the reality. That is what your mind tell you. Oh, your kid is like that, your kid is like that, he like this, he like. But when you silently observe without any comment, means have an open mind, then you start to see and understand clearly why that kid is like that. How come other kids are not like that? Yeah. Because each and every one of us, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. That's why every kid is unique. They have their talent, they have their strength and weaknesses. Then when you observe them, you start to understand them. But when you are busy commenting, reacting, complaining, you never understand them. Yeah. You will start to become more and more emotional and angry. How come my kid like that? Always cry. How come my kid don't want to take the milk powder? How come she or he has diarrhea? Because you cannot understand. Then you keep on worrying, complaining, reacting. That's why you are not observant. You are not attentive. You cannot understand. But when you are observant, attentive, when you understand, you can feel them. When they are not in the normal state, you will understand. So when you understand yourself, it's the same. You have to completely silent and be aware of all of your internal mental reaction and movement. How you react, how you stir. That's why Krishnamurti said, the awareness of which I speak is of what is from moment to moment, of the activities of thought and its subtle deception, its fear, its hope. Choiceless awareness wholly dissolve our conflicts and misery. Now, this one you understand. When you are silent, all of your problems is to be. You agree, right? Those who meditate, they will agree. But you tell me, but till after I come out, that problem is still there, no? True or not? Means you don't know how to meditate. If you know how to meditate, you awaken to it. How come when I meditate, when I'm just silent, there is no problem? But the moment I come out, that problem remains. Why? Now we discuss. Why? You tell me why. Yeah? Why? This is Dhamma. Clear? You remember the five ways to overcome? unwholesome thought, wrong thought, suffering. What is the third way? The third way is what? Just silent, aware. Then, the mind will return to its original state of stillness, peacefulness. That's why no more problem. We have no thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no stirring of mind, no reaction, nothing, still. But this one is just a temporary state, understand? But this is condition arising. So when you are able to bring it to a state of inner peace, inner awareness, then you realize the original state of mind before the stirring was like that. So if I don't do anything, it will return to that state. But life is not like that, Karina. Every time got problem, you go back and silent. Then how to live life? You agree or not? Huh? Can I agree to that or not? Then what must you do? What must you do? I have shared with you all so many times. Now I don't want to give you the answer. You tell me what the answer is. Very good. Go to the fourth way. Trace the origination factor. How did that fear arise? How did that anger arise? How did that deception arise? How did that selfishness arise? How did that kepo mind arise? How come it's so chattering, so talkative, so heedless? Keep on wanting to command. Rain also complain. No rain also complain. Who is the one doing all this thing? How does it arise? When you trace what happened, it always arises through one of your senses, understand? When you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think or something, then due to one, your wrong view, your conditioning, your fear, your insecurity, which you act according to memory, which is not acting at all. You don't act according to understanding, wisdom. That's why you don't trace the origination factor. Then how can you retrospectively reverse it and cease all this? Not until you understand why you do all this and what are the things that cause you to do all this, you can never develop the wisdom to reverse it. That's why the Buddha in his teaching ask you to develop the four foundations of mindfulness. To be aware when you are heedless. To be aware when the factors of enlightenment are not there. To be aware when the hindrance are there. Then to be aware how the unarisen hindrance come to be. Then to be aware how the arisen hindrance cease to be. Then how in the future the non-arising of this hindrance come to be. Then the factor of enlightenment also same. When they are not there, you're supposed to be aware. Means when you are heedless, not attentive, not mindful, you aware. Then you determine to be mindful. And then you will come to know how the unarisen factor of enlightenment come to be. Then as you develop this training until you are skillful, then you can develop the stability of it, completion by culture, to understand how this enlightenment factor or sati can be stabilized, can be developed until it's always there with you, because it's a spiritual faculty that can allow you to understand spiritual things, that can allow you to investigate into Dhamma, which is the second factor of enlightenment. Then from there, if it stand up to investigation, there is so much joy. And joy is pity. Pity is another factor of enlightenment, fourth one. But the moment it stand up to investigation, it will drive you on to cultivate. That's why virya, which is the third enlightenment factor, will arise. Then you start to see how the factors of enlightenment, one by one, they will condition you to develop more and more understanding, more and more inner peace, inner joy. Then from pity, as you stabilize it, as you relax into it more and more, it becomes sukha. Then as you are able to pass through sukha, you will hit paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. That is your true mind. That is your meditative mind. That is what the fifth factor of enlightenment is all about. Then when you have this paucity, your mind is in sati. Then everything you see, you are mindful. Everything you hear, you are mindful. You are attentive. Then everything you smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, you are mindful. Then you are heedful in the midst of life throughout the day. Not until you have this silent mind, sati, accumulating to paucity, you still have not developed the right meditation. Paucity, which is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind in the midst of life, that can make you ever mindful from moment to understand everything that is going on within you. You have not developed the actual true meditation as yet. Then with paucity, as you stabilize this in your daily life, then you will start to develop understanding. Then you will start to develop the stability of the mind that will not be disturbed. Then it accumulates into samadhi, which is the sixth factor of enlightenment. And samadhi is the unwavering mind, collectedness of mind. At the moment of sense experience, it does not waver anymore. It is collected and unwavering. It is very stable. So this samadhi will allow you to see things as they are. That's why with sati and samadhi, which are spiritual faculties, when they become very stable, they become unshakable powers, then you can see things as they are. Then you understand clearly that the truth and the reality is not what the thoughts say, not what the mind say, not what other people tell you. When you see things as they are, you see clearly their universal characteristic within each and every phenomenon. You start to insight into their characteristic of impermanence, leading to suffering. Every time you attentively see them, aware of them, you realize they arise and they pass away. You have to be with the moment of sustaining and passing away. Then when you are very skillful, you can be even at the moment of contact, then at the moment of its arising, sustaining and passing away. Then you see them within that silence. That's why you awaken. That's why true understanding can only arise when there is stillness of mind. So this is a very important Krishnamurti code that can develop wisdom and great understanding. So just like what J. Krishnamurti said, there is understanding only when there is stillness, when there is silent observation, passive awareness. So when you can see things as they are, then you start to understand. If I don't hold on to any views and any opinion, then I only need to maintain attentiveness at the moment of sense experience. Then I will understand everything that is going on. Then I reflect and contemplate. If it is due to my wrong view, my conditioning, my heedlessness that make this mind like that, that condition this mind to grasp and cling and hold due to its delusion, then what must you do? You must straighten your view. Then retrospectively reverse it. How do you straighten your view? Now this one is not in the teaching. Krishnamurti also never teach you how to do. How do you straighten your view? You have to reflect. What type of understanding must I have in order for me not to stir, not to react, and not to do all this foolish thing anymore, not to be heedless anymore? I must see the importance of what? The importance of this form of mind, training its mind to have this heedfulness, to be constantly aware so that it understands what is going on, so that it can actually unravel all of its deceitfulness, its cunningness, its fear, its emotion, its phobia, its insecurity, its selfishness, its emotional negativity, and its delusion. So that all this, I start to see them. Then I tell myself, are this mind state me? It cannot be me, where they come and they go. Before that mind state arise, that fear arise, there was no fear. That's why you retrospectively reverse the thing. We are through the third way, you understand the original state of mind is stillness, silent. All these are condition arising, cause phenomena. Upon contact, consciousness come to be. Then within the consciousness, the content of consciousness. That's why the four foundation of mind will teach you how to see all this. The six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. When you maintain awareness, when external form together with the senses upon contact, the fetus comes to be. How with the color shape and form and eye as an organ upon contact with that consciousness, you input the wrong content with your wrong view. That fetus, which is your greed, hatred, and delusion, the evil roots, then how it conditions the hindrance of mind, then how it conditions you to have emotion and fear. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya viññānaṁ. Then viññānaṁ you input content, viññānaṁ paccaya namarūpaṁ. Then dependent on namarūpaṁ, salayatana sense bases arise. Then dependent on salayatana, there is always contact. Then upon contact, actually feeling arise. Feeling is pure feeling. Without delusion, feeling will never move. It will stay as pure feeling. But because of delusion, self-delusion, ignorant, craving, you have habitual tendency, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense. You react because these are hindrance of mind. Your habitual tendency make you like that. Why must you react? Why can't you see things as they are, accept them for what they are? Why can't you accept what is? That's why Krishnamurti defined awareness as what? You look at the last paragraph down there. What is the definition? Awareness is what? Huh? Read to me. See? What is what? The reality. Suchness. The first word is, to be aware, you must be silent. Means no mental chattering, no verbalization, no thinking. Choiceless observation means you don't make choice, you don't react, you don't stir, you don't condemn, and you don't do all those foolish things. Then you observe the reality without words, without concept, without conditioning, not according to what your mind tells you. Then you see things as they are. This is how you develop wisdom, understanding. Then through that you reflect and contemplate. How can I straighten my view when I understand that these are all the wrong view, wrong thought, delusion that condition my fear, my worry, my anxiety, my sorrow, and my lamentation. That's why I can advise you all last time, whenever you are not peaceful, you are not happy, the evil roots are there, remember? And what are wrong thoughts? That's why I saw them in the meditation, that's why I can tell you. Wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, and your deceitfulness. Your subtle deception, like Krishnamurti say, your hope and your fear, all these are wrong thoughts. They doesn't bring about harmony. They doesn't bring about peace. They doesn't bring about understanding. They bring about more and more negativity, evil roots. And if you don't straighten your view, contemplate, reflect, and develop all this clear understanding, you can never free your mind. And you are very lucky because I take you straight away to the answer. You no need to search. Because this understanding actually very difficult. And I didn't develop it this life. I understand it then because of past cultivation. The understanding was already there all the while. If you were to reflect, contemplate, come up with something that can allow you to straighten your view so that in future, when you experience the same type of sense experience, when you see something again, hear something again, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, your mind no longer stir. What type of right understanding and right view will allow you to have that ability? Means you have to develop the understanding of what Krishnamurti is trying to explain here. What is the reality, anasana? And it coincides with what the Buddha said in the Jnana Dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. When you are mindful, heedful, you can see things as they are. Means what? Not what your mind tells you. Not what your views and opinions tell you. Not what your conditioning tell you. Means you see truth, you see reality, you see what is. Then it will give you a very good starting point. If this is the reality, if this is the truth, then what must I do? I have to accept this reality. That's why I see things as they are, and these are conditioned arising things. Condition like that, it has to be like that. It cannot be otherwise. Means what? If I want things my way, I suffer. I become miserable. Understand? So I have to accept. That's why acceptance is the first. Very important understanding. When I accept means what? I don't react. I don't stir. I don't blame. I don't comment. Now then you realize what Krishnamurti say is true. When I don't do all those things, what happened? I become very peaceful. This is wisdom. Retrospectively reverse it. Then the deeper understanding is to cater for all situations. What did I tell you? Accept them for what they are. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Understand? Yeah, that is the reality. Condition like that. It has to be like that. It cannot be otherwise. If you want things your way, you will suffer. You will become miserable. And then, you can live like what Krishnamurti say. Understand? That's why you can be within that silence. You can't early on because you have your views and your opinion. You want to be right. You want to comment. You have a lot of knowledge. You say, no, he is wrong. He shouldn't do all this. Yeah. Then you complain about your spouse, your loved one, your children, your bosses and all those things. Then your mind becomes heedless without you understanding, without you knowing what is going on. That's why you cannot live. But when you develop that clear understanding, people are just the way they are. Means what? Angry people say angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Deluded people do deluded things. Then what happens? Your anger, your hatred, your emotional negativity towards that person you see through your old conditioning, your views and opinion about him disappear. Understand? Then you can come to terms with him. You can accept him for what he is. Understand? It doesn't mean you agree with what he do. Understand? Because being deluded, he will do things like that. Being selfish, he will do things like that. Being emotional, he will do things like that. He is just the way he is. The world is the world. When the bird want to chip, remember? The final summary of the Satipatthana Sutta. The bird is the bird. Understand? If you say, I want to listen to the Dhamma, please don't chip. The bird choi le tu ngong, if I can understand, you understand. No? When there is condition for them to cheat, they just cheat. Like the kid, when they want to cry, they just cry. They want to laugh, they just laugh. And you go and scold them. Hey, I am watching the TV. You know. Don't laugh. Don't cry. He cried louder. So all this, when you have the understanding to accept them for what they are, to accept the world as the world, the reality for what it is, then only you can be at peace. That's why acceptance is wisdom. Acceptance is non-reaction, non-reactive, no negativity. And how do you act after that? Because after that, you have to act. Understand? Like I say, after the meditation, you come out, you complain. You say, when I come out of the meditation, I still have problem. No more problem. Because when you know how to act, means what? You act with what? You act with understanding. Understanding come from what? What is the meditation that can give understanding? What did the Buddha teach you? When you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, it leads to the end of all suffering. That is the meditation. That is the wisdom. That is how you act. Act with right view. To accept them for what they are. Because law of karma. They are just the way they are. They are born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned, supported by your karma. You are what you are. Then when you understand that, you will respect them for what they are. And you will respect yourself for what you are. And you only need to take care of your own karma. Take care of your own life. Then when you develop wisdom, understanding, you will become beautiful. Then you got no more problem. Otherwise, before you are ready, you want to help. You want to keep poor and do all those things. You become more afflicted and more miserable than them. Understand? No? Don't be deluded. Wow, my loved one, my spouse, I must help. My children, I must help. And then, you want things your way, which is not nature's way. That's why if you don't develop this type of understanding, you cannot free, you cannot liberate. So now you understand. The third way and the fourth way, you have to cultivate. You have to constantly reflect, contemplate. Then the next time when you confront the same sense experience, then you realize you are different now. After you have straightened your view, just like what I share with you all. Many Kayamitas can do that now. They realize, so different. Last time, when they heard this bad news or certain type of when they receive this type of not so pleasant news or very frightening news, they will have panic, freak, and they don't know what to do. They would have gone into suffering, misery, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the projection of the thought. Sometimes it grips them. They call panic attack. Understand? Huh? When the doctor say, your biopsies came out. Not so good news. Can you come tomorrow? Bring your wife along. I tell you, that whole night you cannot sleep. Because you are so gripped by a panic attack. You didn't reflect the five daily contemplation. You didn't develop wisdom before you encounter or confront this first noble truth reality. So Dhamma is pretty simple when you understand, but when you don't understand, it can become miserable. It can like haunt you, afflict you, and make you miserable. So this is the clear understanding that you need to develop. Then when you can develop this understanding to straighten your view, to accept things for what they are, to see things as they are, then your equanimity of mind develop. Because through this wisdom, your mind does not stir anymore. Because you can accept them for what they are. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Then when you have this ability, your mind becomes so different. You can have peace. You can rejoice. And you can attend to all situations, all problems. Like many Kayamita also, they come to know now they are so different. They not only don't panic, no. They like understand it so clearly. No. They know what they need to do. No. You do what you have to do. No. you resolve things amicably, then you move on. You just have to calm yourself down. The first thing you do is to calm yourself down, to be at peace first. Then there is clarity of mind. You have to accept the reality of the moment. Doesn't mean you agree. And then you ask yourself, what are my options? How can I act? Refer back the Noble Eightfold Path. You will never go wrong. Then as you become more and more skillful, more and more adept to this way of living, this type of understanding, you would have become transformed and beautiful. This is how you slowly, slowly straighten your view, develop right understanding via the right view, leading to the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then your right effort to constantly abandon the unwholesome thought, prevent the rising of those unwholesome, unskillful action, speech, and thought. Then develop the right effort to constantly cultivate all the virtue, all the wholesomeness, all the right thought that are still not in you. Then constantly arise the right effort to purify upon them, to refine upon them, and perfect them. Anna, you progress very fast after that. Then when you are able to be heedful, mindful throughout the day, from sati, accumulating the seven factor of enlightenment until pasati and samadhi, then you can see things as they are. Then you keep on understanding things. That's why wisdom keep on arising, just like Hui Ning said. And many of our kayamita who has connected and developed the understanding also say, everything they see in life is like speaking Dhamma to them. The fish also speak Dhamma. The bird also speak Dhamma. Nature itself is our greatest teacher. My teacher used to tell me, Ajayantra, he said, nature is our best teacher. He just observed nature, contemplate, and he received so much wisdom. He said, nature has so much loving kindness and compassion. Nature is so generous. You can understand him. He said, nature give and give and give. Nature never take. What does it mean? The air you breathe, the water you drink, the nature's resources that you receive through nature, they are all given to you free. They just give and give and give. A human being, what do you give back to nature? All of your feces, urine, your sweat, your byproduct. Then sometimes you pollute nature with your wrong thought, with your unwholesome thought, with your evil thought. Then you let go so much gas every day. That is a small type of pollution. But nature can purify very fast. That's why nature has a lot of loving kindness, a lot of compassion. It's very generous. It just give and give and give. Take for example a tree. A tree never complains, isn't it? But when it is a very sunny day, what do? They give you shade. Means what? They endure the sunshine and give you shade. But you are a scientific student, you may be more clever. You tell me, no, brother, they want the sunlight photosynthesis. Correct. But if, let's say, somebody tell you, hey, you have to shake the sun, then I stand behind you. You think you like that tree, never complain. Hey, you say you go in front of the guy, you stand in front, I stand behind you. Human beings like that, they are willing to endure. Means what? At night, when it's very cold, you know what they do? They endure through the night, despite the rain, the wind. Then during winter, during autumn, what do? They echo and flow on us out. They shed their leaves to bud again when there is spring. Human beings complain. Rain also complain. No rain also complain. Too cold also complain. Too hot also complain. Then you look at nature, the rock. At night, outside with all the wind, all the harsh weather and condition, they never complain. They don't have fear. Why you got so much to complain and so much fear? Why can't you learn? You look at the birds. When they are happy, singing, chirping, flying, so free, when they are not sick, they have so much joy. When you are not sick, you don't know how to be like the bird. You go and think until you're not happy. Is that living? The bird don't behave like human beings. They don't go and think until they become unhappy. When they are not sick, when they are healthy, they are so cheerful. They fly around, they chirp, and they sing. There is so much joy because they are very simple. They are not so cunning, not so fearful like you. Don't have all this worry and this anxiety. So this is what Dhamma is all about. You can learn from nature. You can learn from your friend, especially your enemy, people who are not easy to be with. These are the people who can test you, who can be your real teacher. You ask Alicia, she always tell me that, oh, I learn a lot from these people. There are many things in life, you do not perceive it in negativity, you become beautiful. It's how you see things. That's why I say to you all, there is no such thing as a problem in this world. Do you agree? You won't agree, eh? Because we got no problem, I'm ready to go. If I tell you the answer, you will agree. If you do not perceive anything with negativity, we got problem. Problem only arise when you fear, when you think negatively. Say it all. Have to sort out so many things, financial problem, children's problem, health problem, relationship problem, career problem, business problem, now GST problem, tax problem. Then like rather see a lawyer tell you, oh, now a lot of people see lawyer. Because they cannot sort out with the government, they have to see lawyer. Then the tax department also same. So now advisory service is very busy. So all this fear, worry, anxiety will not help you. When you confront them with understanding, means what? Do not perceive them with negativity. You just tell yourself, oh, this is blessing in disguise. If it doesn't come, if it doesn't manifest, I cannot be tested. I don't know whether I'm okay or not. My cultivation has reached whatever level. So when you can confront them and laugh at them, then able to have the clarity of mind to resolve them, then you realize, hey, like Brother Teo say, there is no problem. Everything can be cultivated. But not through bribery. Through wisdom and understanding. Not that type of cultivation. But by definition, actually, that word donation is a trap for him. Maybe lawyer know. You interpret for me whether I read it correctly. Is it any form of gratification? Whether it's a gift, or an inducement or a donation, is considered corruption. So it's a trick. It's a donation received. The act is very clear. Any type of gratification, you know what is gratification? Make you song, make you happy, gratify you. In the form of gift or donation or inducement, induce you, is considered as that thing. So be careful. When I say can be counted, means can be resolved amicably, not the underground cultivation, that one is inappropriate. Law of karma hit back. So now you understand. You got any question? The first Krishnamurti quote is very beautiful, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, I didn't finish. There's one more last sentence. The awareness of which I speak of is what is from moment to moment of the activity of thought and its subtle deception, fear and hope. Then choiceless awareness wholly dissolve our conflict and misery. So now you understand this sentence, the last sentence. That's why choiceless awareness, attentiveness, without reaction, without doing anything, will dissolve all of your conflict and misery. But Krishnamurti never teach you how. Understand? Huh? He tell you can be done because he can do it. But he don't have Dhamma, he don't have teaching. That's why he never tell you how to do it. He say you follow him, it will dissolve. But without wisdom, after you come out of it, what happened? The problem is still there. Eh? Because you haven't straightened your view. You haven't developed the wisdom to attend to all these things. That's why all this so-called problem, conflict, fear, worry, anxiety, you cannot root it out. Without wisdom, you cannot. That's why Krishnamurti said there is understanding only when there is stillness, when you are silent, attentive, without stirring, without movement. Then when you see things as they are, you awaken. How do you awaken? That's why Krishnamurti also never teach. You see the universal characteristic within each and every phenomenon. They are impermanence, leading to suffering. But every time you see them arising and passing away, like just now I explained, at the moment of their arising, sustaining and passing away. Then you see the condition arising, cause of phenomena. Then you realize they are all impermanent, non-self, empty, come and go, come and go. As real it can be, split second is dead and gone. Then the moment you cannot accept, react, grab, cling and hold, and want things your way, suffering will be the result. Affliction will be the result. Then you start to see the characteristic of impermanent leading to suffering everywhere. That because it's empty, non-self, that delusion continued to speed, continue to delude, continue to create so much suffering within humanity. You saw it within your own form and mind. And through that you can deduce that's how living beings suffer and become miserable. That's why you will have a lot of compassion, a lot of love. Then you will understand how living beings become so miserable, how they enter depression, how through their own delusion they have so much fear, so much insecurity, and so much unhappiness. When things go their way, they can be happy and joyful for a while. But all this is not going to last. Sooner or later, they will confront the First Noble Truth reality. And when they do that without wisdom, they will be afflicted, they will become miserable. So make haste to develop this understanding and wisdom. Do not wait until too late. When you are too old and too weak, like this body will tell you, oh master, this is what my teacher tell me. That's why when I reflect on this, very good. It give me the urgency. He say, oh master, he call you master. I am only tissue and cell. Therefore, harm me not. Because this form of mind is just tissue and cell and the consciousness. Then he said, have me work for you. Because I am your tool. I am your servant. I serve you. Have me work for you before I am too old, too weak and too fragile. For the benefit of many. For the benefit of yourself, your loved ones and others that have affinity with you. So if your body can talk to you in this way, I don't know how you feel. For me, I got a lot of gratitude towards this form of mind. I will use it appropriately with a lot of joy and gratitude towards it. That's how I take care of it. I do not abuse it. I do not want to become heedless anymore so that this form of mind need not suffer. So that this form of mind can be a blessing to all, can develop that type of understanding, that type of wisdom which is so beautiful, so wonderful, that can be of great help to humanity, to all of those beings who want this understanding. And this is what the teaching is all about, and it is so beautiful. It's priceless. Money cannot buy. And yet, you are so fortunate. You are given this free. This is the only free lunch. And you don't know how to make use of it. You let it slip by. It is really, really a pity. So now, hopefully, with this understanding, of course, you all are already so much more fortunate than other beings. Because for you to have this understanding, you already very, very far ahead. You only left with your perseverance. Your faith is more or less there, but you have to strengthen it. Then you have to diligently walk this way. That's it. Then everything will fall into place. Then make the appropriate aspiration. Invoke the power of merits. Make a difference to your life. Do not wait until it's too late to regret, because no amount of sorrow and lamentation or regret can help you. So this is a very important point in your life. Strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless anymore. Okay? So we finish the first kula. You all can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. See? Just four lines. So much Dhamma, so much teaching. With this type of sharing, you understand better or not? You understand better. You know how to apply. But like I say, Krishnamurti can tell you how the state is like, where he gone through. But he cannot teach you how to do it, where he himself also not this life, also from his past. And this life he come, he don't teach the Dhamma, because he has a different role. He wants to share this as a new teaching and for the new civilization, using modern words. He doesn't want to use technical, what they call scriptural type of words. He wants to relate to the younger generation. Otherwise, every time you talk for noble truth of suffering, cause of suffering, you think the young people want to listen to you. He say, please, I got other thing to do. Then they on their handphone, then they check the internet. See, you got problems. Go to internet, all the answer they Google. Yeah, their way of life is different. But when they read this, they can relate. Understand? They feel attracted when they have problems. So that's where his teaching come in. So that's why now, when I send out, I realize now more and more people get interested in Krishnamurti sharing and teaching. That day, Tuesday class, I think Brother Song, he's lying down. He brought one friend who brought along another two friends. You know what they did or not? They came and attended the Tuesday class. Then I went through the Krishnamurti code. So at first I thought they catch no ball, they would kill. Surprisingly, towards the end, I asked one of them. He said, okay, it's okay, not too bad, is it? He said, I think the code is quite clear, is it? After I explain. If I don't explain, you go and read. Maybe those who cultivate, they can understand, they can make sense of it. We have one Kayana Mita wrote to me, very good. She got so much joy when she read through the second code. Discover the whole content of what is. That one make her feel so much joy, because she can understand all this code so beautifully. How much time we have? Oh, 10 minutes. Okay, we try to go through the second code. Discover the whole content of what is. See? The first sentence again repeat what we shared. Understanding, which is wisdom, comes with the awareness of what? What is the reality, understand? Suchness, the isness of thing, understand? What is the isness of thing, understand? Isness of thing is suchness. What is the reality, understand? That's why it's all the same. The Buddha is called the Tathagata, where he's an expert in Tathata. Tatata is such, understand? That's why he told Ananda to start. Thus have I said, or thus have I heard. Thus means from the Tathagata, suchness. That's why the teaching is thus. So understanding comes with awareness of what is. There can be no understanding if there is condemnation of. That's why when you every time scold your children, condemn and do all those funny things, you will never understand them. When you blame yourself, get so unhappy and miserable over what happened, you don't understand yourself. You don't love yourself. Understand? That's why with Dhamma you see all these things. If there is condemnation, Krishnamurti say, there can be no understanding or any identification with what is. Identification with what is means what? The reality you cannot see. You identify through what? Through your thought, through your brain, through words, concept, views, opinion, idea, conditioning. That's why when you identify, you are dead. Then you perceive them with your views and opinion. That's why you can never understand anymore. Then your mundane mind come out. Then you act according to what your views and opinion tell you, what your mind tell you, what your conditioning tell you. Then you act out of fear, out of greed, out of selfishness, out of delusion, sakayaditi, self-delusion. So all this is when your mind start to identify through your mental aggregates of form and mind. If you condemn a child, see, he used the same example, or identify yourself with him, then you cease to understand him. Correct or not? You keep on scolding him only. Boy tell you not to do. Why you so naughty? Why you do? You didn't even want to understand him, why he do. You didn't want to find out. You just scold. You say, this is wrong. You're so naughty, I will kill you. Or I will ground you. So you do all those things. And when you do all those things, are you happy? Are you peaceful? Are you managed to achieve what you want to achieve? You become stressful, angry. And the boy also unhappy. So the moment you are not around, the boy do those funny things, act behind you. Red, the tongue and the hand, and make face behind you. You also don't know. Then sometimes you manage to see. Then you get very, very angry. Especially teacher. The moment you turn your back at the back, a lot of funny things going on. Sometimes aeroplane also come out. Then sometimes they go and stick all those things behind the teacher. It was so bad. And they laugh about it. They joke and they draw things. Then they go and put a tape and stick behind. Last time, luckily no handphone. Otherwise, the WhatsApp go everywhere. So the next one also very interesting. If you condemn a child and identify with him, then you cease to understand him. So what Krishnamurti advises, so being aware of a thought or a feeling as it arises. Note this word. That's why I always tell you, you must be aware and mindful at the moment of sense experience. At the moment of its arising, sustaining and passing away without word. Of all phenomena. Not until you can do that, your mindfulness is still not stabilized. When you can do that, you are very near to home, I tell you. When you can see things as they are, silent without thought, the moment of its arising, sustaining and passing away, there and then, you will definitely awaken. That's why I always tell you, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? If you see, you always see. Well, last time when my teacher gave me that reader, truth is everywhere, why can't you see? She didn't explain, no. She just said this. Then I go back and inquire, truth is everywhere, why can't I see? Then I just silent. The moment I silent, all the characteristics start to appear. All start to appear. Then I realize, it's everywhere. That's right, for those who never see, they will never see. Who don't see, they will never see. Because if you are not silent, you cannot see. You cannot be with the moment, just like what Krishnamurti said. To understand the process of what is, I run too fast. So being aware of a thought or a feeling as it arises, then without condemning it or identifying with it, you will find that it unfolds ever more widely and deeply, and therefore discover the whole content of what is. What is the content of what is? Content of your five aggregate of form and mind, Arasana. Well, what is the reality. And you can only perceive the reality through your aggregate of form and mind. So the whole of the content will unfold when you don't condemn, don't react, don't stir. That's why when you silent, it is very powerful. That's why in the four foundation of mindfulness, you remember what the Buddha said? When feeling has become pleasant or unpleasant, you must be what? Huh? Aware means what? It has become there. Understand not? Means sensual desire and ill will, hindrance. It has become a hindrance. Or greed and hatred. The evil roots are already there. Means you are heedless. Craving has arisen. Feeling is no longer pure feeling. That's why you cannot understand anymore. It's just like when the enlightenment factor or sati is not there, you must be aware. Means you are aware that you are heedless. That's why you have to develop attentiveness. Then when you aware of feeling without movement, what happens? Means you don't go and comment, react, and label it as pain, pleasant, unpleasant. The moment you label, it becomes hindrance. So if you don't label, just like what Krishnamurti said, it will unfold itself ever widely and deeply. Just like what Ingby saw in her meditation. It will unfold. You remember I say, like a dead man. A dead man cannot do anything. Then let it unfold. Understand? Itchiness also cannot scratch. Oh. Then whether pain or no pain, how does it come about? It's your perception, your conditioning, your reaction, your condemnation, your discrimination, your habitual tendency. So if you don't arise all that, what happens? You see things as they are without one. You feel them. And that feeling remains as pure feeling. And that is meditation. But nobody understands what Satipatthana is. They know how to code. Feeling got three types, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. But they forgot. When feeling has become pleasant or unpleasant, you must be aware. They forgot. And nobody teach them. And they say, note, pain, pain, pain. You go and note. Then you see where you go. How you develop. Whether you really develop any understanding or not. Because the real cultivation is so different. Now can follow. Now this is clear. We move on. To understand the process of what is, there must be, again, choiceless awareness. A freedom from condemnation, justification, and identification. When your mind don't go and retrieve to memory and create all this through your conditioning, your wrong view, and your all your emotion, your selfishness, your fear, phobia, anxiety, all this will never happen. And when they never happen, you develop wisdom. That's why he used the word to understand the process of what is, means to see things as they are, to understand the truth and the reality. There must be choiceless awareness, a freedom from all this reaction of mind, stirring of mind, heedless thinking, understand not? This is what you do. You stir, you comment, you justify, you identify, you hold, and you label. When you are vitally interested in fully understanding something, what do you do? You give your mind and heart, correct or not? Beholding nothing. That's why Ingby saw this word. So beautiful. When you don't hold back anything, you just truthful, silent, just everything the way it is. Beholding nothing. When you are not holding means you are not clinging. You don't have views and opinions. This is how you develop the understanding. That's why you give your mind and heart. You fully aware, attentive, withholding nothing. But unfortunately, what happened to human beings? You are so conditioned. Worse is educated. That's why I put in bold. You think you know a lot. You PhD holder. You master, and you all sorts of degree. You are president of United States. You are prime minister of the country. You think you are very great. You are very educated, disciplined. The worst is discipline through religious and social environment. I eat vegetarian, no. I keep precept, no. I cultivate four foundations of mindfulness, no. I develop the teaching of the Buddha, no. Or I'm a Christian, or I'm a whatever. So all this discipline through religious and social environment to condemn and to identify and not to. The thing that you're supposed to do is to understand yourself. You never. But you are so busy about identifying yourself. I'm a Buddhist, you know, I cultivate this, I do this, I meditate, no, I got this experience. But you never work on the understanding part. Who you are, what you are, also you don't know. So to condemn is, read loudly, so that it goes into your head. To condemn is stupid. And easy. You never learn, understand? Then why you want to comment and condemn? But to understand is so difficult. That's why you have to be ever mindful. Requiring pliability and intelligence is wisdom. Not cleverness. Then condemnation as identification is a form of self-protection. Understand? Where you kiasu, understand? You want to protect your status, your right and wrong, understand? Your views and your opinion, your religious label. That's why you want to argue, understand? A little bit tahan already. So condemnation and identification is a barrier to understanding. So always remember this, commit to your memory, so that you will never do this foolish thing. Never try to be right, never complain and condemn and react and stir and become emotional. To understand the confusion and misery in which one is and soul of the world, see? Human relationship and the world. You must observe its total process. You cannot be like here observe something, there observe something. It doesn't work that way. The total process means the whole content of your consciousness, so that you understand your intention behind, your motive, your deceitfulness, all of your evil roots. You have to understand them and how you function as a human being. Yeah? The senses. Upon contact, what happened? That's why all this you have to understand is total process. Then how thought divide. How thought actually create duality, create words and concept to divide, to cause you to cling, grasp, and arise argument and conflict. To be aware and pursue all its implication requires patience. That's why you cannot hurry, understand? You have to be very patient. To follow swiftly and to be swiftly means what? Not running very fast. No. Swiftly means the mindfulness is very swift. Understand? When you are silent, you are aware, your mind is everywhere. Understand? There is no center on. That's why it's very swift. Even the bullet train or whatever or lightning, very fast, but it's within your field of awareness. Everything is very clear on. It's like slow down, but there is nothing slow about nature. Everything is just the way it is, but because of your awareness, you are very swift. That's why you can be with all phenomena. That's why I told you when I saw the TV last time, the pixel, everything was moving so fast, speed of light, no problem. The awareness is just there, silent. All the movement is there. That's why the Buddha said, within one lightning, split second, billions of consciousness has arisen. And to be still, you must have the ability to be still. If not, you cannot have that sweet awareness. So okay, with this we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We should thank Padmasuri for getting all this done up so nicely. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And we should thank all Kayamita because you all donated it. I also do reimburse, even very small amount, but reimburse. So let's see, I know. Then you want to donate back or what, it's up to you. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why all these quotes, they are very meaningful, very beautiful. When I explain, you can relate to the Dhamma. Then you can put it into practice. Then you can develop understanding very fast. Then you see yourself very clearly. Then you realize all of the foolishness that you have done. Then you start to straighten your view. You don't scold your kid anymore. But don't come back and complain. But I don't scold my kid, now they become horrible. Means you don't understand what you are doing. Don't scold doesn't mean you don't teach, don't train. You train and teach with understanding to following Noble Eightfold Path. Speak to them nicely, let them understand. Right speech, right thought. They will love you like anything. If they become more naughty, means you don't understand. You are not mindful. You don't have the understanding of the Noble Eightfold Path. Means you lack right speech. You must understand. Don't scold them, means don't pamper them. No? Understand? Don't let them do what they like. No? You have your duty. You know. You have to advise them. You say, boy, if you continue like that, don't blame yourself for what happened later on. If one day you fall and you have all these problems, you don't say, mommy never advised you. Then you keep quiet. After that, don't try to say anything. Then let him make mistakes. Let him get into trouble. After that, he will first thing recall is what mommy say. I didn't listen to mommy. That's why I get into such problem. So all this, be patient. When you are trying to understand them, you have to be silent. Observe them. Then be patient. Then when they got conditioned, talk to them. Advise them. Nobody like to be scolded. Nobody like to be instructed. When you are young, you also know. But if people speak to you nicely, explain to you nicely, you can feel them. They are sincere. You can feel their love, their care. Then you will respect them. You will have a lot of gratitude towards them. And that is how you should live your life. Be a good parent. That's why do your duty well. Develop wisdom and understanding. Okay, we better end, because 10:37 ready. Okay, we will do our sharing of merits. Transform merits, then you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all be well and happy always. Then we make aspiration to invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena Sāṃsa sāmpati heto ca, pito bhavatu loko ca, raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we will end.
Flowers are beautiful.
Mm.